Take your Bibles and we'll begin in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And can I say what a privilege it is to be numbered with the people of the Lord. I think it's an honor to have been born in the United States of America. Or as both of my grandfathers, to have traveled here and become American citizens. I'm glad to say that I live in Michigan. And if you're someplace abroad, you can show them exactly where you live on your hand. Again, I find it a privilege to be a member of the Covenant Baptist Church. I have a unique existence in this regard that my dad was the founding pastor, and other than my 4 years at Bible college, this has been my church all those years. And I'm glad to say that the Covenant Baptist Church is known around the world as a missionary-minded church. And I enjoy singing the song, and we didn't sing it tonight, "What a Day That Will Be, When My Jesus I Shall See. And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." But if you would, the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 1, the title of our thoughts tonight, "The People of the Lord." And as I said, it's a privilege to be numbered with the people of the Lord. And it says in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof.' Notice, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed who? Us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.'" In verse 12, "saying in a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to come and to be here this evening. Lord, to sing the songs of praise. Lord, to give offerings and tithes. Lord, to offer the prayers for those of our loved ones and those of our church family who are going through difficult times. Lord, bless this message for thy honor and for thy glory. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. "And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Praise God that we can be the people of God. Number 1, a redeemed people, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Redeemed. What a blessing it is to be redeemed. To know that we have been taken from the doorstep of hell and be given entrance to heaven upon our death. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. We are redeemed. We have been purchased. We are thus to serve the Lord. It is an obligation that we should desire to have, and it is a privilege to do so. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As I watched yesterday the Hindu funeral, and I thought to myself, as the priest was anointing the body with all kinds of different things, I thought to myself, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a privilege. Number two, we are a chosen people. If you would, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a chosen people. And it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of what? Darkness and into his marvelous light. Folks, we live in a spiritually dark society. And the problem is they are shunning the light. But you know, all the darkness in the world cannot blot out the light. The light needs to continue to shine. And so we are not only a redeemed people, we are chosen. Deuteronomy 7, 6 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. See, not only are the chosen people of Israel his, but also we that are born again, we are chosen. And we are to be used. You know, we choose things all the time. Let me give you an example. Your car needs gas. Is there only one gas station in the area? No, there's many. You choose where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how much you're going to put in the gas tank. You choose when you go down the bread aisle. Are you going to get the brand of the grocery store, or are you going to get one of the other brands? And you decide what you're going to get. You choose. Well, God chose to send his son to die for us, that we could have eternal life. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Number three, we are a peculiar people. We just read that in verse 9, where we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Again, if you would, the book of Titus, chapter 2, peculiar. Now, I say this, I know I'm peculiar. And that's all right. I noticed that this morning in Sunday school when I was the only one in the class that didn't like coconut. And everyone else in the class liked coconut. I'm thinking, someone's peculiar. And then I said, how about buttermilk? And there were only three of us that liked buttermilk, and no one else did. Who is peculiar? Well, you know, we're all peculiar. We have certain things, but if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, it sets us aside. We are peculiar in the eyes of society. What do you mean you're going to church on a Sunday night? What do you mean you give a tithe? Think of all the things you could be spending that money upon. If you would, Titus chapter 2, Paul writing to the young preacher in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Aren't we glad it's from all iniquity? Aren't you glad that when we get to heaven that sin will be in our past and there'll be no more sin in our lives? What an awesome thought. redeemed us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself, what? A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar. A desire to serve the Lord. It should be our desire. It is a privilege to be numbered with the people of the Lord. And so we are redeemed people, a chosen people, a peculiar people. Deuteronomy chapter 14, if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And let's read verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 14, 1 and 2. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves or make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Now, the Lord is telling him some things that you're not supposed to do. Verse 2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. To be different, to be peculiar. Number 4, if you would, the book of John chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 19, we are a separate people. Separate. You know, when you're peculiar, a lot of times it's easy to be separate because they don't want to be around you. They don't like being with you. Sometimes all you have to do is talk about the fact that you live a certain way. But John chapter 15, being at verse 19, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Separate. There is a difference. There should be a difference in our language. There should be a difference in our lifestyle. There should be a difference in what we do and what we do not do. We are separate. And there should be a change in our lives when we come to know the Lord as Savior. We are new creatures. Now, no one's going to say this is easy. It's hard being separate unto the Lord. Sometimes we feel like we have a target on our back. Sometimes we wonder why we have to do things that others think is a little bit strange, and we don't do things that they think are just, well, they're right. But we are redeemed, chosen, peculiar, separate. Exodus chapter 33, if you would, please. Exodus chapter 33. The Israelites at certain times found it very difficult to be separate. In fact, at one point they said, give us a king so we could be like the nations around us. They didn't like being different. I remember, and I've told you the story, that for some reason somebody gave my parents some clothes that they thought I could wear. And I've told you the story, and I'm not bitter about this, but in the box was a pair of red pants. And I've told you about those red pants and how my mother said, you have to wear them at least once. How would you like to have to wear red pants? Well, if you're a girl, you probably don't find that any problem, but not me. And that was rough, and I felt separate from everybody. But notice verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So let me ask you this question. When is the greatest separation going to take place? Heaven and hell, separate for all eternity. The Bible tells us there are many that are on their way to destruction. And there are few that find the path to everlasting life. A separation. The lost from God. From light. The saved from sin. And the sinful life. It's a separation that we will have for all eternity. And number five, and holy people. Holy people. If you would, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. To be holy, to be set apart. Again, it's not easy. In fact, down through the years, I've known many people that said, I can't live this way. Can't live this way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are the people of the Lord, and he desires that we should live a holy life. Again, let me tell you, that's not an easy thing. We must do so when we stay close to the Lord. But the problem is, when we drift, it will make it so it's hard to be holy. Again, in Deuteronomy 7, 6, I read it to you early. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For thou art an holy people. Not only were the people of Israel, the children of Israel, to be holy, we that know Jesus Christ as our Savior should strive to live a holy life. And number six, if you have a worksheet, you find that that's our last thought. To be have a happy or joyful people. A happy or joyful people. So what makes someone happy? I understand, and I wasn't listening to the game, and I was not watching the game, but I understand that with just a few seconds left in the game, the Detroit Lions were again on the verge of winning. And a field goal of 50-some yards was kicked. Would you say, as the ball went through the uprights, there were happy people and there were unhappy people? Yes. And some of you may have said, oh, same old Lions. Aren't you glad that our happiness doesn't depend on the Detroit Lions? Yes. But the fact of the matter is this. Living for the Lord is not always easy. But we can still be joyful. We have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Did I tell you John chapter 15, verse 11? John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus is talking. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. Our Lord desires to give us spiritual joy. Now, I have said before, and you've heard me say it, that I believe in every human there is a void that only our Lord can fill. I believe this, that people are trying to fill that void with many things. We find people trying to fill it with entertainment. Entertainment 24/7 is our world today. I believe there are those who are trying to fill that void with work, with money, with health, with family, with possessions, and they're trying to fill it. And Jesus says that he is willing to give us our joy, or give us joy. Notice, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be what? Full. Full. I don't know how many of you enjoy going to a buffet. There are some that are very good, and we probably have all eaten at a buffet where we thought, wow, I cannot even begin to enjoy everything that's here. But one thing about going to a buffet, if you leave hungry, whose fault is it? It's our fault. See, our Lord desires to give us joy. And when we walk away from Him, we leave His joy where we left it. Yet He wants us to have joy. I say this, we have joy when we gather together and we sing the songs of the faith. We have joy as we sing praises to Him. There is joy in bringing our petitions before the Lord in prayer. I'm glad that you can pray for my wife, Donna. I wish she could be here. But you know, the fact is, you get joy from certain things, but the joy we get from the Lord is for eternity. It's His. Would you turn once again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and verse 29. See, number 6 is a happy and or joyful people. Have you ever wanted something special for Christmas? A special gift? Probably more so when you were young. You wanted something special and you couldn't wait for Christmas or your birthday. And when you got it, you were just all excited. You know, as believers, there is a joy that is ours that we can have day by day. It's not just part-time. It's available all the time. But notice what is said here to the people of Israel. Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Israel, you are happy. Excuse me? They are living in tents, wandering in the wilderness, eating manna and quail, and you are happy. Are we happy? See, the material things of life, they're temporary. But the peace and joy and happiness that the Lord gives us is day by day, no matter what we're doing. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray here at the altar, or maybe you would just like to pray where you're at. 470, I have decided to follow Jesus. Those words, I have decided to follow Jesus, can lead to the joy that we were just talking about. But it's a decision that we have to make. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this time of invitation. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.